I was just about to talk without even starting, like talking to myself, and then you start recording and you forget you're talking to yourself. Anyway, welcome to the masterclass, parenting, through self-discovery and traumatic recovery. I had to read my own paper. I'm so excited to teach this class, as I am any particular subject I talk about. So welcome to the class and welcome to this time and space in which we're just going to talk about parenting. And so let me start with an opening. Of course, you know, this is Priestess of Liberation and I am La Comadre. And so I'm known by two different ways. I'm known by Ya, which is something that I've taken on now later in life, and Angelique. And so if you've come across my work, you may come at it at all intersections, and welcome, welcome. And I'm happy to have you here. So I first want to start by honoring and calling in this space and kind of creating this. And I strongly believe that as I speak, the thing is, so creating this container, a sacred container for us to have this conversation, this stepping into this really vulnerable place of talking about what it means for us to be parents and what it means to be in a space of, if you will, recovery and healing, which is a lifelong pathway. But nonetheless, because of fragmentation, we tend to, like, you know, put it in corners. And so in this space, I speak to the healing in all the dimensions. I speak to the renewing and the refreshing and the shifting of the places that we've been a little stuck in and that we've been afraid of or in paralysis in when it comes to showing up fully as ourselves and all that can go with that in a very transparent way. So this container that's being created, I want you to imagine that there's a circle all around us, or that we are in circle. And the anchors in this space is the crystal selenite, a very healing crystal. I want you to imagine amethyst as well, holding this protection, container of protection as we dive in deep. And also my favorite red jasper, which is an amazing grounding stone. And so I speak protection. I cast a circle of protection around us as we engage in this and in all the dimensions. And also a gentleness. I want us to imagine rose quartz as, like, maybe we're sitting on chairs of rose quartz with cushions and it's comfortable. And this beautiful hue, pink hue, is just holding us as we talk about this. I want to call in our angels, our spirit guides, our benevolent ancestors, and all the support that we have dimensionally that is for our highest being and our most luminous expression to hold us in this container. And so I'm thankful for that. For I call to the four corners above and below. I call to the elements that will hold us as well: water, earth, air, and fire. And we need an ether, the in between, the matter that is moves in between, to hold us in this container. I sing the praises of my benevolent ancestors who I know that are with me, and my spirit guides, as well as my plant guides, tree guides, as well as my animal guides, just all that walks with us. I sing their praises and I'm grateful for them. And I also sing the praises of the land of the Susquehannock tribe, which is where I live at. And then the Susquehanna River is, I mean, just a couple of blocks down. And I sing their praises for the pathways that they have offered to us in terms of being able to be on this land in a way that we get to be in relationship and learning. And so I'm thankful for that. And so I want to presence that and honor that. So what I want to suggest to you is to make sure you have a pen and paper accessible, or a recording of sorts, so that you can jot down the thoughts that come to you or your responses or initial mutterings and utterings as we walk through the class. I'm going to spit out my gum because looking at that, I just realized, you know, I got this wad of gum in my mouth. I'm going to keep on chewing it as I talk. So thanks for being so patient. What I want to say is that the reason that I thought about this class is because Mother's Day just passed here in the United States. It was on Sunday. And we have so many narratives and stories around Mother's Day in a way that for some is beneficial, for others it's a nightmare, a living nightmare. And what to me I was reminded of as this Mother's Day was coming around was the journey that I've walked to get to this place in my life. And there was a lot of reflection last week around how messy it was for me as a mother and as a parent to, while I'm simultaneously, give me one second, let me lower this because I hear the fuzz in my ear. It's just the speaker. Okay, perfect. Wow, that white noise really makes a difference. Thank you. So the way, like, the journey was messy. And it was messy, one, I was younger, and two, I didn't have enough resource around me. I didn't have enough resource because, one, I was in a really toxic relationship, which made it really hard to reach out because it was an isolating type of relationship. And on top of that, there was also, like, actually time constraints around, like, the active mothering and homeschooling my kids and, like, trying to learn and grow as a person, as an individual, and also struggling with my own stuff that for the most part, like if I had to percentage it, like 75% was going unaddressed and unable to tend to it, and maybe just 25% tending to it in the best ways that I could. That meant that I was reading books, self-help books. It meant that I was trying my best to inform myself and also articulating like my own experience and my own like understanding and enlightenment, if you will, around and awareness around like how trauma has impacted me and then in turn, in certain ways, perpetuated it with my children and in other ways was super complex to deconstruct, to unpack. And like, as you're, so back in that ideology, I thought like I had to have the way already paved, the way already established, the framework already established, so that I knew exactly what I was going to be doing. So I always felt an urgency around time because I'm like, oh shit, my kids are small. This is, if I don't do this now, they're going to grow up and they're going to not going to have this particular skill or that particular skill or this particular thing. And I mean, it can go on forever the way we can approach kind of parenting and wanting to give our kids a different context than what we had. And in that, often the parenting becomes reactionary rather than responsive. And responsive allows us to orient toward what's present in the environment rather than like, oh, you don't want to raise, I don't want to raise my kids the way I was raised, or I don't want to do this the way it was done to me. And so that's all reaction and doesn't actually have space for other things. So with my kids who are now older, they're 22 and 26, and the healing path to this place where we're at now has been long and challenging and painful. And my particular context, I come from a really rough past and childhood that was challenging in ways that still has impact to my present day, right? So things like CPTSD and trauma and healing from sexual abuse and healing from physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So often enough, trauma can have these intersections. So let's talk a little bit. So as you know, with my teachings, I'm gonna move back and forth and we're just moving between the dimensions and also like moving between the concepts so that we can kind of have this like spiral integration as we're moving on. So if we look at trauma first, let's look at trauma as a sudden event, if you will, or an ongoing event, which we don't talk enough about, an ongoing event that creates a kind of like a dysregulation is the word that we use in like the trauma-informed community. And so what it does is it interrupts our growth and our patterning as folks or as children as we're moving on, and certain parts of our brain just experience this really like stuckness, and then the experiences start to roll and your body doesn't know the difference between like, now that I'm older, my let's hypothetically say my neighbor next door was screaming and they were fighting. My body doesn't know that it's not me that's in danger, but we'll read it as danger. And so that's kind of the impact of trauma. So not to specifically get into all the pieces of that, that's an entire another training, and which I will cover at some point, right? As we look at trauma as an ongoing thing, so however long we're in environments that feel unsafe, that there is a threat, physical, mental, emotional, spiritually, then we begin to develop ways of being in the world that are about living reactionary to that, or constantly having to process things through all a million filters with different layers and labels, ages and times. And so there's that part as a person where I have this in my history, right? And so there is an exam, if you're not familiar with your own stuff or with what potentially can be trauma, then there's this study called the ACEs. And you can Google it and you'll find a million videos, TED Talks, go on and so forth. I invite you to do that. I'm not going to get into that now, except to say that they're adverse childhood experiences. And what happens is that when you rate high on the ACEs, then you know that that those events in your life, if you've had them, have an impact. Now, the impacts, people talk in all different ways about it, like our longevity of life and health and wellness, which are all very true and very present. But it's important to be careful with some of that and be careful with what we may perceive as an outcome. And what we're trying to say about that. And so, like, you'll find that in some of the studies or in some of the conversations, people talk about obesity. I don't think that's cute at all. And so, as we know, the medical field can harp on certain things. So having said that, you can look up ACEs and find a small free test to take so that you can get your score and understand, like, what parts of yourself or where in your life you've experienced some challenges that have caused an impact greater than you can actually articulate or know, because you've repatterned according to the trauma or the experiences, right? So there's that particular piece, right? Like learning and growing in my understanding of that as a person, knowing that there's what I thought or imagined to be like great parenting, or imagining to be like how I'm going to prevent my children from having those experiences, actually reactionary parenting turned into a traumatic experience for my kids. And there's so many ways that I've had to be accountable for the choices or the ways that I did things with my children, so that they in their lives can, because I have the awareness, because I have the understanding, move into spaces where they can have honest conversations, call myself and their other parent or the other person who is present in that equation to accountability for behaviors, words, and harm that has been done. And now the unfortunate part about that is that you don't always get the responses you want if people are not aware. And so what for me became pivotal was I knew that I wanted to deeply understand human behavior, human growth, human patterning when my kids were young, because I wanted to be able to support their development and their understanding of the world in a powerful way. But I come from a very strict background, a very abusive background, and a very fear-oriented background. And what that does is it teaches you to use fear equally in order to get behavior. And so that's one of the things. So when we look at that, we look at it with children, we're like, no, absolutely not. That's fucking ridiculous. How are you doing that? How are you being that way? Okay. Now, fast forward to you as an adult, how critical and how self-harming you are with your own judgments toward yourself when you are less than the perfect parent, or less, like if you find yourself doing things that your parents did, or that things that are harmful, or behaviors that are harmful, or reactions that are harmful, and you are as critical with yourself, we're all missing the point. Because the point is that we need more generosity and more grace, because what we're talking about in parenting is supporting, creating a container for humans to grow and blossom in. And what happens for us when we're equally in that container, as we should be with our children, as we're all growing as people, then there becomes a conflict because the understanding around our parenting philosophy, foundational philosophy around parenting, has tended to be that we need to be in the know so that we can teach our children so that then they're in the know. Otherwise, they're empty and we are immature. Right. And so I feel like when I look at the metrics of how we measure maturity at whatever age, there's maturity lacking in a 43-year-old just as well as it would be in a 10-year-old or in a, it's like there's no, like, it's almost a ridiculous notion, but yet we subscribe to it. So we feel as parents that we're engaging in raising children and kind of creating a container for their growth, that we need to be in spaces of like completion and already in a knowingness so that we can offer them something. What tends to happen is that we don't realize that the very expression of our embodiment is what is the offering, if I can say it like that. So rather than having these foundational or fundamental beliefs around parenting that mean that you are in completion, you have it like together, whatever that means. I don't care, y'all, there's were times in my life where I was hopped up on like schedules and hopped up on like how I was like, how we were running the day. And I used to be a homeschooler. So how we run the day, what they have access to, like order and character. And you start picking on the smaller things because you're living terrified that your children will not have the same thing that you didn't have or that was missing for you. And so when those foundational fundamental beliefs around parenting, your philosophy of parenting is founded on reaction or fear or the opposite of fear. So if you had strict parents, then you're on the opposite spectrum, right? Or your responses are all over the place because it's coming from an amazing place, a place of love and devotion. And at the same time, it's still being built on the foundation of you're supposed to have it together. You're supposed to have it figured out. So my children had to live and walk with me through the experience of self-discovery. They had to, and so he said, that sounds romantic, but it wasn't romantic at all. It was actually, I burnt out so bad from trying to do everything. And I burnt out so bad that I was 3 months in bed. And that was the longest spell of depression that I stepped into. Because what I didn't understand then is that I had mental health issues and I suffered from mild depression. And also my circumstances were that were very toxic and very unhealthy continued to perpetuate and trigger me left and right. But I didn't have the language for that. I didn't have the understanding for that. And then you add that fundamental philosophy around parenting that meant that I was entirely responsible for these humans to grow up with character, with order, with a sense of purpose, a sense of direction. God forbid they not have that. like my son the other day mentioned to me in a conversation how he had realized that the reason why he's very like go, 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 and constantly engaging in like something to move him ahead or like make sure he has his things moving is because he wasn't afforded the opportunity to just relax and chill and know that we were going to have his back in terms of like, you know, he could take his time. We were very conscious, both in unhealthy and healthy ways, about like making sure that they were fending for themselves, that they knew how to get what they needed, be resourced, be proactive, and be ahead of the game. So you had no margin for like stepping back because we were terrified, and more so myself, I can only speak for myself. I was terrified that I was going to have children who didn't want to leave home. And in addition to not want to leave home, we're just happy with like kind of milking what existed already because I didn't support them in being healthy, developing adults that can get on their own and support themselves and provide for themselves, right? Like it's amazing the things we harp on because we're afraid of some outcome. And we're holding that while we're also holding our own growing and our own changing. And now in society, we have like, there's not enough space for that. You're working or you're caring, you're caretaking, and there's these little people, and then there's other influences coming into their lives, and you're trying to create space to deal with your own shit as it's coming up. So you tend to back burner your stuff so that you can feed and nourish and give the, I was going to say milk the children, that makes no sense. Give them milk, right? Like nourish them and make sure that their lives are existing in this abundant way, which is really based on context. And it's whose context that it's based on is what becomes challenging for us, right? So you could have it based on how your parents or your people, how the village you grew up in taught you that children need to be nourished and cared for, or it can be in reaction to that. But if we're in reaction or in, if we're in reaction to our, like the negative experiences, and we're also in reaction to the positive experience, and nowhere in there is the actual space for you to continue to develop and grow and change as a person and be with that transformation, and also teach and be with the children in their transformation and their growth and their cycles and seasons. So this to me then becomes the place of like, what do we address first? Well, you know, if you have trauma in your history, it then becomes important for you to understand what you're talking about and like what the what's the experience happening to you? What's the experiences that are happening to you that are like reactions to triggers? And I often tell folks, including myself, we don't get to control the reaction to a trigger. We get to control the response to the reaction. Because triggers are so like kind of a whole body joint, a whole mind psyche joint, you can, if you know your triggers, which is a very fortunate thing to be paying attention to, like what is the quality of your feeling when you're around something. And we talk about things like in trauma, we talk about things like smell, or we talk about things like people's personalities and energies and why a thing can be a trigger. We talk about, and recently I there was this course that I took, was a workshop, and they were talking about the J curve, which is like regulation, human, like our regulation. So when we go through changes, whether positive or negative, there's always this curve that happens. Rather, we think it's like, oh, change the next thing and we keep on going. Mm-mm. It actually takes this whole bend. And we know that when we're in that space, we need a lot of generosity and a lot of grace, because we'll come back to a different way of movement, right? That is more integrated for us of this new experience or this, you know, change that has happened. And so it's called the J curve, which I think it's a great model. Every framework, every model that you come across is not going to be sufficient in and of itself, which we need to be grateful for, because if it was, then it would narrow down to creating a norm, a normal, which there isn't such an existence of a thing, right? And so when we're engaging in kind of our own learning and growing about what it means to be the people that have experienced the trauma, we want to have a better understanding about those experiences, like being able to be honest about them. And then we want to be able to get therapy support, because we need support. We need somebody to hold the container for us. And this is the challenge that as parents, we say, we don't have time. If we can use the language, we can't afford to neglect it, because you need and you are deserving of as much support as the world that you're looking to create for your children so that they can flourish and blossom, right? Because we need to have those integrated systems to support us so that we can support them. Because while you're trying to create this world, there is your world, and you as a person influence that just as much as what you're trying to create, if that makes any sense, right? So being able to get clear about what our traumatic experiences have been, the way that's impacted us, and then being in awareness and listening with a witness, which is what to me a therapist is, or a counselor, anybody, you know, in that particular field, is a witness for the things that we need to speak and articulate. And also begin to deconstruct that we are not alone in that, but that there are many that have had that experience, right? And there's hope for a life that is not living in reaction to that, but we're able to be much more responsive as we own for ourselves, like how things have hurt us. And then in conjunction with that, also be able to say, oh, this is how I'm going to, sorry, I'm moving it because the light gets darker. This is how I'm going to step into caring for myself so that I'm able to kind of move through these things and integrate like tools so that I can have breath in between my triggers, or that I can really analyze and support my body in regrounding and centering itself, right? So then that becomes the thing. So when we're talking about trauma recovery, we're talking about being able to distinguish and say, I may not be able to step into this place with my children because I'm still learning to heal, and I'm going to teach them what it means to be with someone in the process of healing. And that this particular way, you know, we talk about trauma-informed communities. I want trauma-informed homes. I want trauma-informed self-help, right? Where we're able to acknowledge, oh, when I'm reading this, it could be a good book about self-help. And the way you interpret what's being read is that another to-do list, I don't know, anybody out there? Another to-do list for you to make you fulfill this this whole like image that you have of the type of mother or parent you need to be. And that's why it becomes problematic, right? Where it's like, we need to have like caveats in books and in courses, letting us know that we have the right to take what serves and the right to release what doesn't, so that we're not further affirming any issues that you have with guilt that are actually based on traumatic experiences, or like any fears that you have that are based on like experiences that you had, and you're like, your kids are, listen, I think of so many different things, but like how you create containers for them, but they're based on your fears. Like you're afraid of this happening or afraid of that happening, so you create these ways of being. So you start to become aware of those pieces for yourself, so that in your awareness, you can reframe your parenting. And now for me, a lot of my experiences, there were pieces that I was aware of and that I understood. Like I used to spank my kids. And when I realized that spanking was a really arbitrary way of like getting, it's like behavior based on violence seemed off. But the context I come from, it's a very common practice. Like, you know, I'm gonna kick your ass if you don't get your life right, type of thing, right? But I didn't know where else to go or how else to ensure that I provided my kids with a healthy sense of responsibility and a healthy sense of accountability. But I didn't understand that for myself, right? And so this is what tends to happen. Like we're looking at how we want to change a thing, how we want to do a thing, but simultaneously you yourself, you have not had a positive parenting experience, and ergo, you are not able to parent yourself in the same way you're parenting your children and being in a connective relationship with that. So it resets us up for these paradigms around authoritarian, like parents are in charge and children are receptacles. Right. And so this is where we're feeling all the weight and all the pressure, like, oh my God, we got to know. Oh my God, I need to have my shit together. How am I going to be an example for my kid if I struggle with this so much? Okay. So I'm going to hide my struggle. I'm going to tell them to do as I say and not as I do, which, you know, is an old refrain. And it's coming from these places where these philosophies around parenting are reactionary. So how do we shift that for ourselves? So this is the thing that I want you to know. Now, I do have 10 steps. And if you know me, you know that that's a fucking miracle that I created as 10 steps. But I'm working on really having a little bit more traction, if you will, embodiment to my teaching, so that you can look at it and really like level from it. And so, wow, I'm almost forgetting my train of thought. There isn't the, and you know this in my teachings, I'm teaching this all the fucking time around, like, we have this very idealistic avatar-like thing that we imagine and want ourselves to be. And they may be good things, right? But the challenge with this is that we have it as the standard over here and always feeling like we're far from it. So you may have that as a parent and like language around what you're not doing and what you got wrong. And what happens is that we're continuously creating these models, perpetuating the models, because we haven't seen anything else, of a relationship in a family dynamic that is, that has like wellness as its platform, right, as its foundation. It's built on mutual respect. It's built on boundaries, right? Like boundaries is still a conversation that has nothing to do with authority, but it has to do with agency. And there are boundaries that parents may have, and there are boundaries that children may have. And so now we're learning this, right? Like if a kid doesn't want to kiss an aunt or an auntie or an uncle or a mom or a pop, like they don't have to. If they don't like to be touched in any way, they're not being forced to have conversations. Like back in the day, you know, it was like, you're going to get your ass smacked. If somebody asks you a question, you didn't respond because it was disrespectful. In some ways we're moving away from that. And some folks I know that are my age or with younger children still subscribe to that. It's not about the judgment. It's about recognizing that the paradigm that we're using to hold the family unit together or to create the container for these humans to blossom and grow and explore and know themselves more and offer to this great universe their particular unique expression and contribution is based on old ways that have old mindsets to them that traditionally were fear-based or behavior-oriented. And that we're still operating in that. So when we talk about this and we want, so then how do I not parent out of reaction? Boo, the point is that you're going to have those moments, and it's what we do in response to those moments that change everything. And right now you looking at this video, you watching this, wanting to understand, well, how do I, it's teaching each other as humans, whether we're little people or big people, treating each other as humans, how to engage each other respectfully when we are going through changes, when we are in learning, when we are in growing, when we are in need to be supported. So we model that, we're in it. Like not model is not the perfect pathway. Modeling allows us to understand what the possibilities are. So when you're looking at parenting and you're looking at, okay, I want to offer my children a world that's such and so, or a way of being in the world that feels such and so, the most powerful thing you can do is be a guide and walk with them first by work, like by being in that embodiment yourself and tending to your own garden and tending to the pieces of yourself. And while your children may not have a context for trauma, may not have a context for like the complexity of self-discovery, because they are born humans that are full of life and energy and shift and change, you can teach them to be with you in that, and you can create accountability containers so that you can be like, and I did that with my kids in so many different ways over the years. It's like this conjuring up conversations so that the conversation always starts with my own, like my own embodiment, my own experience. And then sure enough, that conversation is going to evolve into what their experiences are and how they feel about it and what they think about it, and really creating the space to express that so that if they need to hold me accountable for a thing, they'll be like, well, you did this and this and this, or you said this and this and this. And I cannot tell you the amount of times that I've cried painfully because what the harm I've done is not something that I'm proud of, is not something that I rejoice in. And it's not even like the humility enough, it's the heartbreak in knowing that I have been part of hurting my children or causing harm in a way that has impacted them, right? But I also know that in addition to having done that and having to be in ownership of that and the complexity of that, is that I'm willing to say, yes, I did do that. And I'm willing to take, I am responsible, that wasn't my intention, but I am responsible for my actions, and I'm sorry that that hurt, and I apologize how that has impacted you. And really in those conversations, in that way of talking, try not to defend myself. I can offer more context to my experience, but at the end of the day, intention doesn't equal impact. And so I have to live with what has been harmful. So like I said, I've spanked my kids when they were younger. I mean, spanked them until they were a little bit older, and really then having to realize, I'm begging on this thing, how harmful that was. And ways that I lost my temper that were unacceptable and violating. And to own that despite the context I come from is really a hard place to be, because the thing I wanted the most was to never hurt my children how I was hurt, right? So what I'm saying here is that what we want to begin to examine is your philosophy around parenting. Does your philosophy have space for your humanity and for the humanity of your children and any other adult they're surrounded by? And in that philosophy, where if it, we're talking about it having space for your humanity, then we want to talk about what are the boundaries in your philosophy. And if you're co-parenting or in your parent and you live together and you and your partner live together, having that discussion relative to being grown people. So the thing is that while we shift information so that it can be understandable and digestible no matter what our age is, we are often parenting for a context of an age versus a context of a long period of time. And so this is going to bump into one of my huge tips, which is your parenting contextually needs to be in relationship to the idea that your children will be adults and you'll be in relationship with another adult far longer than they will be children. So if that's the case, if that relationship is longer, then the elements that you use to build an adult relationship, boundaries, love, communication, like physical engagement, so on and so forth, getting to know a person. And I often have to use romantic relationships for this because some people forget that your romantic relationship should be very similar to any relationship you have and no different in its quality, except for the part of intimacy that looks like sexual intercourse. But it's the dynamic and the quality of the relationship should be like all your relationships, right? They should have communication. It should be a foundation. Agreements and commitments. And if you choose to shift responsibility or accountability for areas of life, then you do that. But otherwise, you co-share that. Like that co-creative spirit is the same one that we need to welcome our children into when they're in the world with us, right? So that we are able to co-create this container in which every person in the container is held and supported. So if you're a parent coming from an extremely traumatic background, you're not fighting for space for understanding, because the way you built it is that we understand, oh, today mama's having a bad day. Today mama's day is really challenging. Today mama's feeling frustrated. So mama is in the bliss corner, or I don't know, whatever you want to call it, which is another tip, which is to create space, a resource your home so that there is space for you to self-regulate, which is a word you find a lot in trauma. But what it's talking about is really grounding and centering ourselves after a trigger, after our reaction to the trigger. And so maybe that looks like having a corner in your house where you have some sort of curtain or a blanket, and it's like a little hut. You could go sit in it with some pillows and some beautiful sparkling lights. Maybe there's a journal in there. Maybe there's something else in there. And that's where mama goes when mama needs to have a break, because mama needs a break just like the little needs a break when they're feeling frustrated and their emotions are running high. So instead of creating these separation, anyway, but you'll check both of the sides, right? You'll look both ways before crossing the street. That caution and that carefulness is as much a part of your quality as is a part of the quality of a child. And so there's no distinction in that, right? There's no distinction in how you are going to move a thing in terms of a value or a family value and say, oh, well, this is only applicable to a child, but not applicable to an adult. Or it's only applicable to an adult and not a child. If we shift our philosophy and our foundations to include a human being. Now, while there may be some things, right, that a child may not be able to do on their own or fill in the blank, we recognize that, but that's not outside of responsibility or accountability. And that's how we tend to hold ourselves in the conversation of being with our own trauma and our own healing journey, right? So like that is what we're aiming for. We're not aiming for the solution so that we don't like we our children don't have to experience mess. We're teaching our children to respond, live responsively with themselves and with others. So for example, a great on time, in time example of using language that is much more harmful and has much more impact from where I came from, right? And then having to own and take responsibility for that, that's something that I will need to do the rest of my life, no matter how old I am. If something I do is much more harmful than I've imagined, then I need to be in ownership with that, right? In accountability with that. And that's the same, it's the same principle across the board. It's looking at a thing and saying, oh, okay, so how we're going to build the foundation and the philosophy of parenting in this family, it's going to be by being able to set core values and understanding commitments and agreements and boundaries that are for all of us. And then we're going to also be in understanding generosity and compassion when we either lose our temper or are struggling with a thing. So no longer are we facing the avatar and looking to be this perfect parent or however we're imagining that person to be. No longer are we using our parents' lives or our lives as, and that reaction to our lives as the way we're going to parent, but we're able to live responsibly with ourselves and with each other. The same ethic applies to self-discovery and the journey of self-discovery, right? So self-discovery is because there are places and oftentimes where you didn't have the space or the capacity to learn about yourself and to grow and to kind of really identify. Or on another part of that spectrum is that you have, but you've been going through different seasons and have had different cycles of life show up. You know, losses and other things that have changed the fabric of who you are as a person, and you're learning to be and live and integrate from that place. That is a valid, so very valid way of thinking about a thing, right? And saying, oh, we need to be in the practice of it. We need to be in the practice of growing and shifting and changing and orienting ourselves to this place where we can teach each other how to be with each other. Same thing with our children. With our children, we're so harped on. It's really strange because we're like harped on, well, this is how I raised you. And I still use that language, right? Like, this is how I raised my children. But in that, there was so much about how I raised my children versus like, did I spend the time in blossoming and supporting creating container around who they are, their expression, and helping them to grow and build in that. There's some ways I did and there's some ways I didn't. And so for us to be like, oh, okay, so these are the ways we're going to be in movement with each other. These are the ways we're going to be in teaching with each other and in learning with each other, right? Like, we can get clear about that. We can get clear about like in self, like it is a human practice to self-discover and to discover self in different orientation, in different seasons, in different times in life. This is a practice. What are the practices? We ask ourselves questions. We learn to be with each other when we're quiet. We learn to be with each other when we need to talk. We learn to ask questions and not assume, right? Like, these are the practices that begin to surround how we're moving and how we're creating our homes. Does that make sense? So no longer are we using an external thing. No longer are we saying to ourselves, oh, I wish I wasn't such a fuck up as a mom. Or I feel like I'm failing every day at being a mom because these kids are off the fucking chain, right? Like, I teach them this, I'm tired, I'm overwhelmed, and we got to go to soccer practice. I am exhausted. I am trying to do this, there, and the other. And we still have to, like, those particular things, you're teaching your children what is most important. What's most important is that they get to this, an external commitment is much more important than honoring what's happening at present. So then later on, this is where we learn it, right? This is where we understand, oh, wait, what's happening is for me is not as important as getting the job done, appearing, or the behavior. The behavior is much more important. So we're going to all shift and hurry up and make sure we conform to that rather than being in honor and respect of where we're at. So when we're looking at trauma recovery and self-discovery as a practice in life, as a pathway versus like a temporary stage or a journey, because a journey has a beginning and an end to it. It has a destination, right? It's going, you're going somewhere. A pilgrimage, the same thing. And so what tends to happen is we put everything in these containers in which we're waiting for the fucking end to come or to be in completion with the thing. And we're like, why doesn't it happen? Or like you work through some pieces and you become aware of some pieces and then you get triggered and all you thought you knew goes out the window because your reaction to your trigger or to a trigger was either old or disproportionate to what you perceived happen. And you find that a lot with trauma, right? Like, oh my God, why am I making such a big deal? Or you're making such a big deal out of it. It's not a big deal, right? Like that narrative and that language is constantly causing us to be like, and I still do it. There's places that I still do that. I still use language that's like, wow, I just like diminished my own experience. Wow, I just like, so I just performed self-harm on myself by emotionally cutting myself or torturing myself for misbehaving or not having it together or not being done in as much as I know. As much as you know is not the point. The point is the compassion and generosity that needs to come with being a human being, and that the practice of that is ample. So that doesn't equate that if you're having a really exhausting day, that you have to make believe for your children or that the children have to conform, but we create containers and boundaries that can hold us through the experience of being like, oh, well, yeah, mama's having a bad day. Or mama's having a rough day, language that allows like for like, oh, it's okay. And it's not the awful end of the thing, right? Mama's having a rough day or papa's having a rough day, or, you know, however you're languaging your relationship with the child and with the child, with your child, you can do that in a way that allows the space for the ways that you are healing, growing, and knowing yourself and each other. And teaching them also, this is also a powerful way to teach sensitivity in that and like compassion for themselves, for others, so that they have built capacity to be with a difference and their particular value and foundation is not rocked every time someone else is out of character or like someone else is feeling however they're feeling. It doesn't subtract for them, but they've known capacity to hold for others. And children have an amazing way of doing that when they're little, that I'm often curious. I'm like, how the fuck do we lose that? But you know how you lose it, because the conditioning is so much stronger. And if that isn't nurtured, it doesn't grow anywhere. It continues to shape shift according to whatever the form of their environment is. And so do we. No different, my friend, no different. Some of us in some places know how to act away and in other places don't know how to act away, right? Like we're all in this together and we all need boundaries and we all need different types of boundaries. Some of our boundaries are the same and some of our boundaries are not. We know that as grown folk, if we're creating and building homes in which we're walking with little people and walking with ourselves and parenting ourselves as much as we're parenting them, then we know that we need to create common language. We need to create a common value system and understanding the common philosophy that helps us grow as a family, take care of each other as a family, when things are really challenging, be able to support each other as a family. And this is like crucial, right? This is like key. It's key to be able to say, this is what we do in our home, right? And to create a connection based on this generosity and compassionate understanding. Powerful medicine. So I want to offer some questions and I'm going to offer the 10 tips for this. Okay. This thing, it continues to scratch. It's my medicine, but it drives me nuts. So if we can offer ourselves grace and space and understand that imperfection is a pathway. It takes us off the hook from feeling like we need to be anywhere other than where we are at. Every family is unique. Every relationship in the family is unique, like from parent to child, child to parent, sibling to sibling. Children, little people to animals, like whatever your household is made up of, there's going to be different dynamics. And those different dynamics often are not the perfect narrative. And so we must allow for the pathway to be what it is and to get the tools and resources for what our pathway is and not what another person's pathway is, right? So we can be in learning and suggestion. Like if I want to learn about joy or want to inhabit joy, I can read books about joy. I can do things that bring me joy. And ultimately though, the integration is to finding my way of being with joy, not copying somebody else's way, because it may not suit me. Same thing for your family. The next thing is practices are for practicing. Ah, that was deep, right? There's some deep shit right there. Practices are for practicing. And what I mean by that is that, again, the objective of completion or having mastered a thing is one of the most interesting things I've ever found, because we're like, I want to be done with this. But you know, life is a practice, and so is parenting, so is your embodiment. And you will try a way that may be different than what you've known, and that's gonna take practice. And then you keep on practicing. And then it does get a little bit better, but you're still practicing. And one day you may drop the ball, the proverbial ball, and then you practice. You pick it up and you keep on going and you practice. Right? And so that's what we're doing. We're all practicing this thing of being a human full of luminosity and generosity and compassion. So here are some questions I want you to think about. I want you to think about, what is the foundational philosophy in your parenting? Now you may say, well, we believe, and put it this fucking like gorgeous, dripping, luscious statement about your parenting, but it's not actually what you do. So I want you to look at what you actually do and derive from that what you actually, like, what's your philosophy? Because this is where there's a lot of dissonance. We know what we want to create, but the actual embodiment of it is much more challenging. So why not begin to evaluate and deconstruct your philosophy to understand what's at the core of who you are as a parent, and you and your partner, or however, or the family, you know, that's holding the space. And looking at what you all actually are believing is a pathway for your family. And if you say, well, you know, we believe in the children, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you don't solely focus on that. What is the human being in this container? What will actually nourish the whole human, no matter what stage or phase? And that's what core values are about. They're like these anchors that no matter what the external surface or what's built on it, the anchors remain. So think about, what is your foundational philosophy about parenting, and what are you actually doing? And this is gonna require courage and boldness. And this is not a place for you to be like, oh shit, you know, again, I'm a failure and I haven't had any change and this is not the parent that I wanna be. Okay, you don't wanna be a tired parent, right? But you're in a very busy season of parenting. So guess what? You're going to be tired. So how can you, what value can support holding space for how exhausting this season is? Instead of how much more can you fix yourself so that you're not fucking up so much or failing? See the distinction in that? Okay. What are the core values you believe and stand for? How are they embodied and in alignment with your parenting? So it's the same thing, same question, two different ways, right? Or same inquiry, really being able to look at what you believe, because that's the place you're operating from. How trauma-informed is that? How much space does your philosophy or your actual daily living have space for your humanity? Because this is the way it's going to have space for the humanity of your children and to be in learning with each other about the things that are important and the ways you all tend to yourselves and each other, right? So here are the 10 tips. My eye is so, I have something. Ready? And this will be on the site below with, I'll put it in a PDF for you so that you can download it if you want to. And then you can listen to this however many times you need to. So really think, so tip number one, really think and reflect on what you believe is your role as a parent or as a guide. I really want you to think about that. How are you shaping, and what is the container that holds your particular play and part? Because if you feel like you're the person that's supposed to have this shit together, you're using a different paradigm and a different framework to build a family, a home, and a legacy. You're using a different framework to nurture and nourish a human. And you want to be in, you want to examine that. You want to really look at that. You want to, like, what have you been told, and what do you actually believe and want to, like, operate out of, or you actually are, right? The next thing is establish and create solid support systems for working through your trauma and journey of self-discovery. So this is from professionals to, in terms of, I hate that word, I don't know why I use that word. This is from therapists and psychiatrists, if that's what you need, if that's the type of attention you need, to groups, to counseling, but always with physical people that you can reach out to. This is the difference. This is really important, because I noticed that we can name support, and it's support that we actually are not in personal relationship with. So we need an accountability system somewhere where we could lean back and be witnessed in as much as we want to witness our children or witness our beloveds, right? And so you want to make sure that you have systems of support. So you want to make sure you have at least three. I always tell people there's three people that you know you can talk to. So one of them needs to be a therapist of sorts, because working through our own trauma is a lot to hold. And to try to do it by yourself, which I've done it for years, right? Like, there was a long time where I didn't go to a therapist, and the best I could do was read, because it was accessible and my relationship was chaotic and my children were young. Not that I recommend that, because it becomes a lot to hold your own space. Space should be held for us as well, right? And that's how we teach our children that when we're holding space for us, we teach them how to hold space for us, and we learn how to hold space for them. And again, that mutual relationship that continues to foster the same understanding. So make sure you get solid support, at least three things. Therapists, maybe a good friend that has the same, like, framework and the same understanding. And then maybe a group where you can go share and be witness as well. The other tip is, there is a season for everything. Watch for urgency. So one of the byproducts of trauma is that it has this way of hijacking the brain, and everything is urgent and now. And there's no space for, like, oh, over time. It's like, if you don't hurry up and do it now, it's never going to happen, because you don't know what's going to come. You don't know what's going to happen. Those words are, by virtue, very powerful words. And in addition to that, they are a container for trauma. What I'm saying by that is that, like, that's like one of the flags that you've experienced a lot of trauma, is when you're in constant state of urgency and worry that you won't make the cut, or you can't do it, or if you don't do it now, it's like now or never. And I'm not talking to, so you become risk adverse, right? So risk, anything risky, super risky, can be like, and then other things are much more like, oh, if I don't do this now, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And you don't feel, there's no breath in that, literally breath. So when you watch, so you're looking for, like, your verses, and this is getting it right versus walking out, calibrating, and orienting yourself. When you move into, like, a specific image of how you think a thing is supposed to be, like, oh, the house is supposed to look, the dishes are supposed to, the children are supposed to, I'm supposed to. When you do that, you're actually not responsive, you're reactionary. And funny enough, based on, like, what other people, because it's all this idea of what will be perceived if you are not fill in the blank, right? So you want to watch that. You really want to look at how you perceive change and growth, how you're perceiving engaging in a thing. The next one is to release the avatar for really meeting yourself and your family where you're at. So I love this, you know, on Instagram and social media and you name it, you'll find it. Pretty pictures about family or like these really unique, like, oh my God, your children are so well behaved because mine's are the devil. You know, this really strange dynamic of looking at life through an avatar. And the avatar is the idealism that you have around what things should look like rather than the greater gift that you can ever give yourself and your family. And that's really meeting yourselves where you're at. In my family, we don't have, we struggle with, and this is what we're working on. In my family, our priorities are not the dishes. Our priority is actually not this, that, and the other. We have like, our days are really busy. And so the little time that we have, our priority is to actually be together, read to each other, play with each other. And so, no, I don't care that my sink is full of dishes. No, I don't care that the living room's a mess, right? What are the things that then become priority over the avatar, over what you think it should look like? And so you want to ask yourself that, you know, like, are you willing to release the avatar? And maybe you need to jot that down. What does the mom that has it together, your version of you that you think you need to be, what does she look like? What are the things, what does her day look like? What do her children look like? What does her family look like? And once you're done jotting all that down, you know, do a little stick figure and add all that stuff. Take a good look at it and then burn it and let it go. Because that avatar cannot serve you. It cannot be you. You are a unique expression. Your family is a unique expression. So meet yourselves where you're at rather than constantly consuming to try to make you into something. And I always struggled with this because I was struggled with waking up early. I struggled with consistency. I struggled with you know, like function and order. And those were things that really were hard for me. And I'm not a morning person, but above not being a morning person, my friends, I was somebody who had not dealt with their trauma, who didn't have the opportunity to do so. And so my body was a fucking wreck. And now in this day, the side effect of all of that, the side effect of years of being in present danger and unhealthy dynamics and toxic relationships, I have IBS and I have to now monitor my IBS, and it gets triggered unconsciously and then my stomach is sick and I just have to be in relationship with its healing. What on God's good fucking earth would a healer that has something going on with their body, like, no, I'm supposed to be healed. I'm supposed to be like, my shit's supposed to be tight because I'm a healer and I show up to create space and containers for others to equally heal. Healing as a pathway, not a process with a completion. So I am still healing. It's a verb, right? But I would beat myself up over like, oh my God, like I don't have it together. And you've journeyed with me enough to know that there's things that I've been through and I'm very transparent about my life circumstances, and it's been less than perfect. And so the fuck what? It is. And you get so tired of trying to be or make something other than what it is. So I want to invite you to be with and meet yourself where you're at, meet your family where you're at, and live by the values and prioritize, make most important the things that really matter to you all, and be generous and compassionate with each other. The other one, the other tip, the next tip is parent from their context and not yours. You've heard me say this before, because again, you're parenting from your experiences or positive or negative that you don't want to have or you want to recreate, but your children are not you and they are an entirely different generation who need a different set of tools. And we need to teach and be in teaching about how do we get the tools we need to live our lives and not each other's lives. Oof, surprise. The next tip is you will be friends and adults much longer than the child-adult paradigm. So build that way. Honor and respect your children that way. And that's a pathway again. It's a practice. Depending where you're at in that, it's a practice. And you got to respect it. You got to respect each other's humanity with compassion and grace. The next one is framework that keeps you all accountable and responsible and transparent. So how can you create traditions or practices in your family that help everybody be accountable? Like, for example, if somebody had the jurisdiction of the bathroom and things are, you know, a mess in there, chaotic or wet, or something's going on that's really impacting others, what are the systems of accountability internally as a family that you want to establish that even mama, even papa, even our loved ones can be held accountable for the impact? So I want you to think about that. What frameworks, what language do you want to use? And that's kind of the next step. Resourcing the home practically, a place to center, a place to connect, language of empowerment, right? And so that is the idea again about this is practically, not just like, oh, this is what we believe. Okay, if you believe that, then how is that showing up in your house? Like, do you have a corner? Do you maybe have an angry corner so that we're not vilifying anger, but that anger has a way to be expressed that is healthy and not harmful? Does mama have an angry corner, right? And like, what is the language we use? Maybe you don't want to use angry. Maybe you want to use frustration. Whatever it is, create a common language. Put it in posters up on the walls. Put it like whatever you need to do to create a home that lives for you and that you live in your home. And you are building a family full of the compassion and the grace to walk with each other and to be able to be with your own, like, learning and growing around your triggers and around your trauma. Like, that to me is really important, in the same way that no matter what happens to your family, you have these set of tools and skill sets and ways already, frameworks. Now, if you feel like this is like, oh, well, this is more I got to do. This is not the more you got to do, is you're dropping into the truth of what your family actually is and what they need and what is the way, the language and the power, like power context that you want to create for each other. And again, and so the last one is pathway versus journey, destination. How we are holding a concept of arrival and destination perpetuates. So when we do that, when we're still like, oh, journey, when we're still like, oh, destination, what we're doing is we're perpetuating guilt, limitations. We're perpetuating self, like a self-loathing that happens because you're not arrived, right? You're not done. You still got more. You keep on fucking up. Like, all that language continues to hold that space where it's very, very challenging. So what do? We look at pathways. Every one of us is in a unique path. And no two trails are alike. No two trails, no two pathways are alike. And if we understand that, then we can learn to be in witness with each other. So what are some of the tools that we can use in order to continue to grow? One is maybe learn about the ACEs if you yourself are not trauma-informed and don't understand trauma chemically in the brain, emotionally, mentally, and physically. And if you have, then maybe you need to get a support, a therapist, right? And maybe you are looking at maybe creating a book list that you can read or listening to podcasts about, like, people who have learned techniques to support and work through triggers and create language around it. Maybe you need more language. So I would definitely like do a little research and just give yourself a little space for learning. I also want to say that you might want to take the ACEs if you're not familiar with that and just see where you score in that so that you can have a better understanding. Sometimes we come from places where the trauma we experience is actually minimized and we learn to suppress it so that we don't understand why we have these particular, like, outbursts or why where we have these triggers or reactions or like blow off the handle easily, so on and so forth. So you want to, like, you need information in order to articulate, in order to be able to create spaces that can hold for you, because otherwise when we're not aware, people can't read our minds. Our partners, our children, our communities, nobody can read our minds. We're truly, like, each person is unique and needs tools to be able to express and articulate what's needed and what language feels most resonant in order to create, like, a trauma-informed home, in order to create a life that has space for self-discovery, that has enough space for you to be like, you know, this is a way I was being and it didn't feel good to me. It didn't feel aligned to me. And I think that, you know, I need to change this in this way. And this is how I want to show up more powerfully and to be able to teach each other that. So like, you don't always have to stay the same. Sameness, it does not mean security, safety, or kind of like adultness, right? Like I got it together, so everything stays the same. Nah, that's not how it goes. And so I offer this to you in a way that I hope that this masterclass has given you new food for thought. I hope that this masterclass has gently held you in ways that are powerful for you. And I hope that you can release the avatar to be with the actual you that you are and that your family is, and all the ways that you can be in your power and extreme transparency and vulnerability. And vulnerability, as you know, I've repeated this 1,000 times, means to actually have a wound of origin. So it's actually still a wound. There's some places for us that have not healed, that are still open, and we have to be compassionate, gentle, and slow with. And to be with that ourselves and teach each other how to be with each other in that way, to me, is glorious. Glorious. So I hope you've enjoyed this masterclass. Please let me know. Send me an email and let me know like the thing that was an aha for you, the thing that was like an oh damn shit, you know, like that was an edge for you. I'd love to hear more about it. If you have any questions, feel free to send me an email at lacomadre@priestessofliberation.com. LACOMADRE and then @priestessofliberation.com. I'm there listening. Whatever nuggets you learned, please feel free to share and that are empowering. The more we spread the word, the more powerful it is for all of us, and our healing is strengthened by it. So absolutely bless you. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be in learning with you and in growing with you and in witnessing the brilliance and the luminosity that exists in your spirit. And that's what I yearn for the most, like as real as we can keep it so that we can heal. And healing not a destination, but as a verb, like we can be with each other. And that you as a parent and being engaged in relationship with yourself and your littles can be in ways that honor each other, respect each other, and hold each other because we need each other. So I'll talk to you later. Have a beautiful, beautiful evening. And thank you again for being here at the Priestess of Liberation Masterclass, Parenting Through Self-Discovery and Trauma. Have a beautiful evening. Adios. Los amo.